We'll turn now to our Bible readings, and the psalm reading is actually from Psalm 37, verses 1 to 6. We'll start with Ephesians chapter 5. Well, we'll do three in a row. I skipped right over the Luke passage, so let's start with Luke, verses 29 to 36. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon, and see, something greater than Solomon is here. The people of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah, and see, something greater than Jonah is here. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays." Then turning to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 19. "Be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts." And finally, let's turn to Psalm 37, verses 1 to 6. "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday."
Good morning. I come from a different background, and sometimes when people pray and I say amen, I look forward to seeing people responding, whether they are in accord with me. But sometimes when I say amen and people don't answer, it is like they are not listening or they are not with me. But that is your culture here, which I very much respect. It surprised me this morning when I finished praying and I said amen. Nobody said amen, and I was wondering. I was thinking of my culture back in Cameroon, where when you pray and you say amen, you will see that many people will respond amen. So those are some cultural differences which we can always have them. I pray that God should really help so that as I minister to you this morning, you will be able to understand this message, and I pray God should really use me to speak to you this morning. And I want to thank the Deacon's Board for thinking that I should bring this message this day. And the passage we've read, I think Paul was writing that message with the awareness that there are challenges in the world. there are difficulties. And especially when he was addressing the Christians in Ephesus, he knew very well that the politicians, the philosophers, human wisdom was at play. Because people wanted to live their lives the way they want to live. But he was coming from the background of seeing that even though you live in the world, you are supposed to be light to the world and not the world being light to you. And that is why Jesus, when he was living in John chapter 17, he prayed and said, I don't want them to be taken out of the world, but they should be in the world and make the difference. We are living in a world that is full of challenges. In fact, when you look at the TV programs, the YouTube, and all of that, you will see a lot of interesting things. There are some that can teach you grow spiritually. There are some that can mislead you. I think some of the youths here might have watched the presentation where one young guy said, I love Jesus and I hate religiosity. I don't know whether some of you had watched it. But there is one young guy who made a presentation over the YouTube and he said, I love Jesus, but I hate religiosity. And I was wondering, one of our tutors presented it in class, and I was wondering, how can you love Jesus without being a religious being? Can you build a house without a foundation? And by implication, it meant that you can choose to be a Christian without belonging to a firm religious background, which to me, I think you are Mennonites, there are Baptists, people have their traditions. Paul wrote and said, we should be careful. And that is why I want to think that we should discuss this title, this message under the title, Living Wisely for the Days Are Evil. Living wisely for the days are evil. Maybe you ask me whether in the days of Abraham, in the days of Noah, in the days of Jesus, there weren't evil practices. They were, but they decided to live wisely. When you look at the background of somebody like Joshua, who made a declaration and said, for me and my household, we are going to save the Lord. That was a decision that he took. And you and I, we are living in a world that is full of challenges. You have a choice to make. Either to live wisely and glorify God, or you live the way the world is living and you glorify the sinful nature. But you have the freedom of choice. Sometimes we debate, people ask in class, why did a good God give us a freedom of choice? He should have just conditioned humankind to live the life that would glorify him. But let me tell you, our God can do that. But he wants that you and I should come to him joyfully. I don't know if somebody had pressurized you to do what you don't want to do. Can you do that thing cheerfully? No. Let us look at the first point that I would like to make under this title, Living Wisely for the Days Are Evil. The first point is being aware that the devil is at work. Be aware of the devil's plan. And I would like to read verse 15 of our text, which says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And in that, in the very Bible, when you read 1 Peter 5, verse 8, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, the devil moves around, he moves around like a prowling lion seeking whom to devour. If we are always aware that God is at work, and the devil is equally at work, we will always be very careful how we make our decisions. What you want to do, if we can censor it and check it and ask ourselves, what I want to do, does it really glorify God? Is it in alliance with what God will want me to do? Then we'll be making a point. But if we just decide and say, well, that is how the world is doing it. But I think that a child of God will always ask, what is God up to in this situation? What is God expecting of me? You will not just say, yes, that is how people are doing it. But you will rather say, I, like a born-again child of God, as the Bible says, those who receive the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, they are new creatures. The old sinful nature is gone. But now they are new creatures. New not in the sense that they are pure persons, they are angels, but they keep striving for perfection. And that is why they have to look at those ways. What are those things that will glorify God? Paul said, everything is permissible to me, but I have to check them out to see whether they glorify God. If I were to ask you one question, the decisions you take in your families, the decisions you take about your education, the plans you really envisage and you want to carry them out, do you always sometimes sit down to look through them and say, but I, like a child of God, what I want to do, does it really glorify God? Or are we just to live the way we want to live? Certainly not. When you look at Ephesians 5, verse 1, Paul, from the beginning, he made a declarative statement there and said, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loving children. How are we to imitate God? Are we going to become God? Who can become God? I think Paul was making a point here by encouraging us to know that if we were to practice something in this living world, we have to practice holiness. Striving in doing the things that you think our good God will do. When you read verses 3 and 4 of the very Ephesians chapter 5, you will get some of what he meant. He said, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Paul was actually encouraging us to know that as children of God, we have a life to live. And that life is the life that desires spiritual holiness. You will ask me, how can I live a life of spiritual holiness? When we read the Bible continuously, and we have family devotions, and we have Sunday school teachings that we always have, those are places where you can be spiritually nurtured. I think we come to church so that we can be spiritually fed. But I don't know whether we come to church with a mindset that is already conditioned. And then no matter what the word of God says, you will say, I have my life to live. But I think believers are those who always seek the divine will of God, who will always ask, what can I do in this situation? One writer made a statement and said, tolerance of evil is a dangerous error, for no one is free to behave just as he pleases. Tolerance of evil is a dangerous error, for no one is free to behave just as he pleases. This statement was made by Alexis Carrel, which means if we tolerate evil, that is a dangerous error. If we tolerate evil, that is a dangerous error. Is the church making an impact in the world today, or the world is conditioning the church? That is a big question that we have to wrestle with. And that is why Paul was writing and encouraging the Christians in Ephesus and saying, you should be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise people, because the days are evil. What do you think would benefit you if you can gain the whole world and at the end of life, God will reject you? Yes, God is a God of love. But are we supposed to just live the way we want to live because God is a God of love? Then why did Jesus come? My second point is, let us live wisely, for the days are evil, by making good use of every opportunity. We have to make good use of every opportunity that we have. Verse 16 of our text says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And when we read Psalms 90 verse 12 says, the psalmist was praying there and said, God, teach us to outnumber our days rightly, which means, God, help us so that the days I am living, let me live those days wisely. How do you live your days in your offices, at your job site, at your private corner? In fact, how do you live your life? Do you sit down to reflect and ask yourself, what am I doing? Am I really in line with what God expects of me? Am I really doing those things that God will be glorified? We are not angels, but we have to strive for perfection. We are not like people that should just live the way we want to live, but we will know that we are called out persons to live the lifestyle that glorifies God. And we can do this by being fed on a daily basis from the Word of God. Sometimes, if we were to take census and to ask, how many of us really sit in the evening and then we have Bible studies with our kids? How do we have spiritual family nourishment? Sometimes it might be challenging that some people do not take time to do that. But as I read from one famous writer to a preacher, James Dobson, who is this writer of Focus on the Family, he made a statement and said, parents will give their children a rich spiritual heritage if they themselves are spiritually in tune with God. And he said, the best thing for a parent to go to the grave smiling will be when he had given his children a rich spiritual heritage. And I was asking myself, people would prefer that if I am to die today, let my children have enough money in the bank account. Let them have enough wealth. But I discovered that you can give a child billions, and if that child is not a well-nurtured child, that child can decide to squander those money within the blink of the eye. But if that child is nurtured spiritually and is godly, that child will use the money to the glory of God and for the general benefit of the family. By implication, our spiritual nourishment is of paramount importance because it guides you, it protects your body, and it preserves your soul for the future. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." But sometimes I look at the heart like the factory of the body. Because if any decision is to be taken, it comes from the heart. And a heart that is full of God's love, a heart that is full of what God expects of us, surely that heart will make good decisions. You will look at fellow human being as somebody created in God's image, because you know that that person has the intrinsic value of the image of God. I will go to the third point, which is living wisely, for the days are evil, by striving to do the master's will. By striving to do the master's will. I quote from Jesus' statement when he actually was about to be crucified. In Gethsemane, he went and prayed and said, "Father, if it is true that this cup is not going to be taken away from me, that I must drink of this cup, let your will be done in my life." When we face difficult situations in life, do we really come to the point of saying, "God, let your will be done, not my own will"? That is a difficult challenge for us. Sometimes people are tempted to say, "God knows my condition and let me do what my mind is telling me." But I think that as born-again children of God, we will always struggle to say, "Father, let your will be done in my life." When Jesus came into this world, he had a mission. And he said his mission was to do what God's will is all about. When we read John 4, verse 34, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Are we living with a purpose? Are we living with a mindset that God's will is there for us? Or we live and say, "Let my will be done." When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we'll say, "Father, let your will be done." But when it comes to taking decisions sometimes or challenging situations, we'll say, "Father, let your will stay put. Let my will take the lead." That is human condition. But there are people who will say, "No matter what, God, let your perfect will be done in my life." I would like to quickly run to the last point. I have never preached a message for 20 minutes or 15 minutes. Most of my messages sometimes are from 30 minutes. But I will respect your time frame because I know this is a different context. I will not keep preaching and preaching. I will wrap up with the last point. And the last point, which is the fourth point, says, we should live wisely because the days are evil by being filled with the Holy Spirit. By being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe you will ask me, "Pastor, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit?" I will use a simple illustration. Children who are always closest to their parents are able to know exactly what their parents will expect from them. Which means, as you get connected to Jesus, that continuous inflow, that continuous flow, when you are connected to the main vine, like what John chapter 15 says, say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. When you are connected to Jesus, that flow, that interaction, as you read the Bible, as you relate with other believers, keeps you in tune, and that spiritual nourishment will always be coming, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will always have spiritual discernment as well. Spiritual discernment in the sense that when you sit somewhere, you will always reflect and ask yourself, what is God really expecting me to do in this situation? What are the things that God really wants me to do? And sometimes people will go on prayer and fasting. But to some people, fasting is for the Muslims. That is how some people look at it. But Jesus had time to fast and pray. And I wonder, when Jesus had this tough time and he was going to be crucified, and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the mountain, and he went and prayed 3 times. Why was Jesus even praying when Jesus is God? He is the Son of God, and he can just declare that this thing should be this way and it will happen. But he had time to really pray because he wanted to really get spiritual discernment and know the will of God. He was seeking the infilling of the Holy Spirit so that he can really know exactly what God is up to. Somebody like Stephen the martyr, in Acts 6, 5 and verse 7, was a man of God who was greatly filled with the Holy Spirit. It is my prayer that as we live in a world that is full of technological advancement, let us hold tight to what is noble, to what glorifies God, to what will bring us the greatest satisfaction at the end of this life, because the days are evil. Challenge yourself to reflect, what are the things that I am going through? What are the things that I am doing? You know yourself. Are the things that I am doing glorifying God? When I live amongst my mates, do I follow them with whatever they are doing that is sinful, or I make the difference and tell them that I am a child of God? We have challenges in the world today, but we need to live wisely, for the days are evil, by being aware of the devil's plan, by making good use of every opportunity, by striving to do the Master's will, and by being filled with the Holy Spirit. There is nobody who is an angel. I am not an angel, but I strive for perfection. You and I can make the difference in the world. But if we choose to say, well, that is what the world is doing, then we are not making any difference. Matthew 5 verse 16 says, let our light shine forth so that those who will see the good works in us will glorify the Father who is in heaven. Ask yourself, am I light to the world, or I am darkness to the world? Christians are supposed to show the light. How is your lifestyle in the community? How is your lifestyle wherever you are working, in your office, at your job site? Does it reflect in your activities that truly you are a born-again child of God? That is why we need to live wisely, for the days are evil. May God bless you, that even as you go around, you will know that I am not supposed to just live the way I want to live, because somebody owns my life, and that is God. How do you respect Him? May God bless you. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for your word. Your word is supposed to be lamp to our feet, so that as we live in this world, we will live to do your will. We will live to glorify you. We will live to make the difference, so that others can see your shining glory in us and will come to your saving knowledge. Bless your people, that even as we take this spiritual journey, we will not be tired, but we will keep striving for perfection all this long. Thank you for using me as a mouthpiece for your people. Let your message make a positive impact in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.